Hello, everyone. How you guys doing? Wow, you guys are close. I'm backing up. How's everybody doing? Welcome to our annual vision and prayer. If you guys can just fill in some of the seats, there's just a couple seats around. If you need a seat in the back, I see a few. You can raise your hand if you have a seat next to you, and then we'll get everyone filled in. Gosh, it's really good to be here with you guys. Tonight's a pretty special night. This is our second time at the SF Jazz Center, and it's a special night for our church as a community. It's when we look back to remember what God has done and look forward to what He might want to do in our future. One of the coolest things about this evening, what I've seen, is that God is pretty kind of moves, speaks to us through this night prophetically. And what I mean by that is, the other day, last week, I think, I was going through my old presentations for annual vision and prayer. And as I was going through these presentations, I'm notoriously bad at remembering things. So I will say something and forget I said it. I don't know if anyone else does that. So I'm going through old presentations from the last 5 years and reading stuff like I'm reading it for the very first time, but I said it and I wrote it. And I'm reading going, oh my gosh, oh my God. And I'm realizing, wait, I said this stuff. And I wrote this stuff. And I'm saying these things, and I'm amazed. Over the last, this is our fourth annual vision and prayer night, and over the last four, saying things, not remembering them, but watching God answer every single, almost every single prayer, and answering them perfectly. The things that we would say at these nights, and I'm like, there's no way. How is that even going to happen? I remember even looking at a couple going, there's no way that's going to happen, and then how it happens. So I also believe that this evening when we say things, when we stand up at the very end of the night and pray for our church, that there's a lot of words of knowledge and prophecy that God will use to speak into the life of our church for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years. So it's kind of a special night. So you guys ready? Let me start by, you guys want to do that? All right. Let me start by praying, and then we'll get into our evening. Let me pray. God, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness to this young church in the city. It's absolutely amazing and very, very, very humbling that you would be working the way you are here. And we just pray for more of the life of God to be breathed in us and through us into the city, that we would, God, for your glory, for the glory of Jesus Christ, be a blessing to the city. That's why you've called us here, to be your people and to be blessing the city. So I pray that we would. I pray that all of us would catch what you're doing, get a vision for it, and our hearts be just swollen with hope of what you're going to accomplish. So we lean into you tonight, Lord. We depend on you tonight. And we ask, God, that you would just give us a vision for the future and a gratitude for what you're doing. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's start here. Last year, we said that our hope for this last year, 2014, was maturity. That was our hope and prayer. We ended the night here at the Jazz Center by saying, we are praying for maturity. And that was our hope. That was our prayer for this last year. And what I said last year was we were moving our church, and we were hoping to move our church from, we called it a startup church, to a more enduring organization is the way we phrased it. So startup church, we said, it's really fun. That was the first few years of our church. Went from startup church, which we kind of said is really fun, high energy, momentum, movement, everyone sacrificing to make something great happening, everyone pitching in, there's dynamism, there's this grassrootsy effort to everyone pitching in to make it happen. That was the first 3 years, and it was great. But we all know that it's hard to live like that forever. It's really hard. And so we said, man, this is getting hard for us. We went from 30 people, our very first prayer meetings before we started a church in the first year, to 30 people to 400 people, 400 to 800, 800 to 1,000 the first 3 years. And we're like, okay, wait, this is insane. This growth is not sustainable for us. It's not sustainable for our souls. It's not sustainable for our leadership. We have to do something else. And if you remember, we moved to Everett Middle School, which was a prayer request a year and a half before we even knew the capacity at Everett Middle School. I pray that we would all be in one location gathering, not four services, but one. And we said that 3 years ago, and God, gosh, provided awesomely for that. So we called it, you guys remember the campaign when we moved to Everett? Called it Slow Church. So we're like, we are going too fast. Let's slow it down. So we did. We like slowed it down, and the rate of our growth decreased. And so this last year, what we wanted to do was really become an enduring organization where we as a church would abide in Christ in San Francisco. We said we want to be rooted people in San Francisco, healthy. We wanted to move to an enduring organization where there was stability and permanency and family, permanent family in this city. I used the language from Psalm 1 last year. Psalm 1, it says, like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season. Fruit in season, we camped on that word season. We're like, we want to be a church that goes through seasons, and it's okay. Like we go through winter seasons together where God prunes us back and things seem dead, but they're growing underneath the surface. We want to go through seasons of a lot of fruit and it's abundant and there's growth and all this other stuff. We want to be a church rooted in the city that actually goes through seasons. That's what we said. And whose leaf does not wither and whatever they do prospers. Notice this is about being rooted by living water, about being fruitful. Now here's the thing about fruitfulness. Here's the thing about fruitfulness. We desired rootedness and fruitfulness in this community, and Jesus talks about fruitfulness in John 15, and this is what he says about fruitfulness. John 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, Christ speaking. I am the true vine. And later, we're told that we are the branches. We abide in the vine that is Jesus. So Jesus says, I am the true vine, and it's assumed here, and he'll get to this in a couple verses, that we are the branches, and my Father is the gardener. So we have the vine, Jesus, the branch, us, and the Father, the gardener. And he says this, the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So it's like a given that God wants us to be fruitful. But then he says this, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Notice it says, if you have no fruit, you're cut off, but if you have fruit, you're cut back for more fruit. So hang on to that for a second. Hang on to that fruitfulness illustration for a second, that metaphor. Hang on to that, and I want to go back to maturity real quick. We said our hope last year was maturity, and that was really a continuation from our hope the year before, which was health. So we said we want to be healthy. We want to be mature as a church. This has to do with rootedness. This has to do with fruitfulness. But here's the deal. You don't just become healthy in 1 year. You don't just become mature in 1 year. So I'm not going to sit up here and go, hey, our goal was maturity this year. Congratulations, everyone. You're mature. Well done. That's not, it's actually something you step into. It's a process that we will go through for the rest of our lives as a church. This takes cultivation to continue the metaphor. So it's actually like a posture. It's something that we lean into. It's something that we work towards. Maturity and health are something that we're moving towards. We stepped into maturity and we stepped into health, into the flow of it, into the posture of it this last year. That was our hope. Now, how are we doing as a church right now? How are we doing? I want to talk about some challenges, but before I talk about challenges, I need to lay some groundwork. This is really, really important. I feel like I'm going to have to explain myself and the decisions that we made this last year as a church. So I need to set some groundwork. So hang with me for just a couple of minutes while I set some groundwork. First is this, what is the church? What is our church, really? So we have Sunday mornings and we have community groups. The church is not just Sunday mornings, okay? This is very, very important. If you and I come from a church where the church is defined by its Sunday morning gatherings, the church is a gathering of Sunday mornings. We love our gatherings on Sunday mornings. It's a beautiful thing, but we also scatter as a community in community groups all over the city. Now, community groups are not just a program of our church. We don't say our church is Sunday morning, and then we have a program of our church called community groups, and we try to do certain things through our community groups. That's not how we see things. The church, our church, is both a gathering and a scattering as a community in the city, gathering for worship and instruction and the sacraments, and scattering for life together, practicing the way of Jesus in the context of mutual commitment. It's a both this rhythm of the gathered, the scattered church, and we move in and out all week long throughout the month, throughout the year. A famous missiologist, his name is Leslie Newbegin. He said this about the church. He says, we, the church, must live in the kingdom of God in such a way that it provokes questions for which the gospel is the answer. And our hope as a church is that we live into the kingdom of God as a family in this city in such a way that it provokes questions for our communities, for our gathered church and our scattered church, that the gospel is the only answer. So this is our church right here. It's Sunday mornings and community groups, the gathering and the scattering. So when you think of our church, think of it of this rhythm of the church gathered, the church scattered. When we think of people in our church, when we do, the staff, and the elders here, when we think of people in our church, we think about getting them involved in the life of others. So when we have a lot of people on Sunday, our thought is, how do we get these people involved in the life blood of the church, of community, living the way of Jesus in the context of community and family and mutual commitment, where they're learning all the love one another's things. They're learning how to practice the way of Jesus in this community, where you could be known, where you could be challenged, where you could be cared for and postured outward towards mission, postured outward in mission toward in the city. That's how we see the church. This is very important. So now hang on to that piece. So there's a couple things I've had you hanging on to. Hopefully you're hanging on to all of them, okay? So hang on to that. So now let's get to the challenges. Here are the challenges for our year. Sunday attendance. Here's a graph of our Sunday attendance. We have a capacity of 1,400 people at Everett. We hit that capacity in February of last year. February last year, we hit that capacity. That spike is Easter Sunday when we met at the Opera House. 3,000 people came to Easter Sunday at the Opera House. It was amazing. Like to stand at our Opera House, and that place was pretty much full of people gathered to celebrate the resurrected Christ. It was in the middle of the city. It was insane for all of us. It was such a great thing. We're back at the Opera House this year for Easter, by the way, so that's going to be really fun. Yeah. So we hit our capacity in February of last year. This last Sunday, we had well over 1,500 people this past Sunday at Everett. And when you look at the capacity and 1,500 people, just don't ask questions. Just forget about that. So here's a solution. Here's a solution that we don't have to hire a church consultant for any of this. The simple solution is start another service. Just add another service. There's people that are being turned away. There are people that can't find a seat. There are families that are driving in that can't find a parking spot. Just get another service. But what is the church? The church is the church gathered and the church scattered. So our question that we had to sit with was, could we get potentially, if we doubled the size of our church or we doubled the capacity of our church, could we potentially get 2,000 to 3,000 people into the lifeblood of our church? And the answer was, at that point, no. We couldn't do it. So this year, we met several times, praying and discussing. We said no to two services. This is what's crazy. We said no to two services in San Francisco, one of, and some people debate, the most unchurched city in the nation. We have an overcrowding problem where we can't fit people in the door and they want to come to church. And we said, we have to say no. And people think that's crazy. Like, okay, so you're telling me that you didn't add a service when you had people trying to get into your church. Are you insane? Now, listen. We Americans see fruitfulness and think it's more and more and more and more. Fruitfulness is about more and more and more and more. God sees fruitfulness and he cuts back. Remember that? How'd you hang on to that? God sees fruitfulness, and he goes, fruitfulness, and he cuts back. And we go, fruitfulness, more, 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 more. And God's like, I want to cut back. I want greater health. I want better fruit from this. I want depth. I want you to abide deeper, deeper, deeper in me. I want your fruit riper and better, and a better quality, not just quantity. This is what we believed last year when we stood here. We believed God was leading us, and it took faith. I'll be completely honest with you, it took so much faith for me personally and our staff, especially me when I talk to people from other parts of our nation. in other churches and other cities in our nation. When I told them we didn't start another service, even though like we should have over a year ago now, that took a lot of faith to go, we have to trust in what God told us. We have to see the church as not just, it's a beautiful thing to see it gathered, but it's more than that. It's more than that. We want more than that. So our community groups, let's talk about that for a little bit. Community groups. Last year, 2014, we had 52 community groups. We had 1,100 people in community groups. We had 80% of our church in community groups. That is amazing. That's beautiful. That's great. But another challenge that we were facing in our community groups were our community group leaders needed a break. They were having a hard time with the constant influx of newcomers. We would email them newcomers all the time. And then we did something that I personally stood in front of the church and said we would never do. We closed community groups for a season. And the reason why we closed community groups for a season, we went to this rhythm, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, was for the sake of health. And what we thought was a mature thing to do by faith in what God had called our community to, we had to take care of those who we had. We estimated 1,400 people that were attending our Sunday morning. We wanted 1,400 people into the lifeblood of our church. So what we said was, until we can add new leaders, until we can add new groups, until we can care for the people that we have, we cannot, based on what God has told us, start another service. So we closed groups. We closed groups. We said no to two services in order to care and pour life and health into our community that we had. We moved to a rhythm season for our CGs where they opened for new people for a season and they closed. And when they closed, it gives that time for the leader to connect and grow in depth in relationship with their group and their group to grow in relationship. And in that in-season time of our community groups, we use that time to train new leaders for the next season. We use that time to start classes for the people that were signing up for new groups to teach them our culture and who we were. We did these Welcome to Reality classes, and we did this is Reality dinner, where we took questions and talked about our culture and talked about what we believe and where we're going and our vision for the church, and to get them in. And as they were coming in, we were able to put them in community groups with a little bit of reality culture. Our first go at this was the fall of last year. During that time, we were able to train 40 new community group leaders, and we prayed for them a couple weeks ago, if you remember. And during our last CG session, we had four, when everything was closed, new people signed up, we had 440 people on a waiting list to get involved in community groups. 440. We've trained, prayed, and installed those new leaders. We started some new groups and have been able to fit a vast majority of those 440 people in new groups or existing groups that had room to take them. So we go into this next season right now, and we have between 90 and 99% of our Sunday attendance in community groups. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. The reason why we go 90-99, we don't really know the attrition rate. We don't know, like, we haven't got those reports back from the community group leaders yet. But we have the capacity now. And we have the scalable systems to train, disciple, and release new leaders to care, to bring people into our church. This new CG structure is hopefully getting group size down, raising up new leaders, all promoting health and maturity in our church. So what does this all mean? Well, it means that we developed a new pathway for the new community group leaders to be trained and new groups to start. It also means that we're serving more and more people than ever through the lifeblood of our church in community. It also means that we are praying this year about starting a second service. So this year, around spring, we'll be starting a second service. And here's the deal. This is what we need you to pray, and we'll pray afterwards, after my presentation. We're praying for a night service, and we're praying for a smaller gathering night service. We're praying for probably a venue that seats about 400 people and start it at night. That is our prayer, and there's many reasons for this. I don't have time to go into all of them, but I'll go into maybe one or two. That night service, it probably serves a different part of the church where we served before when we had night services when we were 2 and 3 years old. And it also allows a smaller venue, allows us to bring in, if we were going to grow, we want to grow kind of incrementally so we can care for the people that we're growing with. Does that make sense? So that's a way that you guys can pray. Hopefully you guys are kind of excited about a night service. So we'll see. I don't know. You get to pray. Ask God. Hopefully he'll do it. This move also takes a lot of faith. This move to a night service takes a lot of faith because what I want to do personally, I just want to open the floodgate and let people come in, open a second service at Everett, and just like whoever comes, let them come. But to do that, to be honest, to do that would be disobedient to what God told us. And what God told us was healthy growth that will, in due season, he will cut back for deeper and healthier growth. Is everybody cool with that? Okay. So let me drill down on some numbers here. Let's start with Sunday mornings. Volunteering. Our volunteer ministry has gone through a major kind of revival this last year. It's a beautiful thing. We have a new volunteer director who's absolutely just killing it, doing a great job. We have a sabbatical care plan for our team leads. We installed 44 new team leads. We have 448 active volunteers right now. And we have all this care built in to care for them. When we install this new volunteer director, they acted kind of like when Pastor Dave Daly came on and started doing systems of care for our community group leaders. There's just so much care and involvement going on in that, in the life. So there's life in our volunteerism, and it's great. It's a beautiful thing. So that's awesome. Our kids ministry. Gosh, our kids ministry continues to grow, and it seems like there's like stroller alley in the back of the church. Just so many babies, and it's a beautiful thing. On an average Sunday, last year there was 60 kids on average Sunday. This year, the last couple of weeks of this new year, we've had over like 90 kids on an average Sunday. So that's growing like crazy. We have 85 Sunday school teachers, and they moved into a different like cohort system of cohort thing of training and teaching leaders, and it's an awesome thing. We're still praying for a youth ministry. We're hoping that this year is the year. We've been saying that for a couple years. God, let it be the year that we start a youth ministry. We've been trying to, and diligently trying to. So hopefully this is the year for that. Everett Middle School continues to be a beautiful place for us to have Sunday gatherings. This is not just a place we rent. Everett Middle School is not just a place we rent. We are being woven into the life of that school, and they are being woven into our story as well. Everett Middle School has the largest after-school program in the city. And they asked us to come and redo their rooms for teachers and their after-school program. Our church, they asked us, could you come in and do that for us? And we said, yes, absolutely, we'd love to. So we went in and redid their after-school program room. Then they asked us, would you consider partnering with us in tutoring our kids? And we said, absolutely. And if you remember, we had the mission grads director come and talk to our church, and we're involved in that. And then they asked us, would you open our school year in prayer and bless our space? And we said, yes, we will. And then last December, Pastor Tarek got a call. Tarek got a call on his cell phone. It was a message from the principal of Sanchez School. Sanchez School is right behind Everett, and we use that school for overflow parking. And got a call from the principal at Sanchez School. And it's like, Pastor Tarek, this is Principal so-and-so. And we have a problem. Would you call me back? And so Tarek gets that, and he goes, oh, no, we're in trouble. Who did it? I don't know. Like, okay. And so Tarek calls back, and like, yeah, we have a problem. And he said, well, we don't have a problem with you. We have a problem internally with one of our teachers that needs help to get credentialed. And we heard that you can help us. And he used the word saved, and Tark's like, what? And then it wasn't that saved. It was like different saved. And so Tark's like, okay, and they're saying, we're trying to raise money to get this teacher credential. He's a great, great, great teacher, and we've raised this amount of money with the parents and of his class, but we need this amount. And Tark was just, his heart was overwhelmed. Like, this is like why we loved the idea of partnering with the school. Like, this is where our rent money goes, into the life of the school. And so we were just, like, chopping at the beat, like, absolutely. I just want to stop real quick and just think about this. A principal from a public school calls a church for help. That happens in Texas. This is San Francisco. That's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Last year, we were awarded the Cesar Chavez Peace Award as a church from Everett Middle School. because of our work with the school. This year, we won it again, and we awarded it again, but this time, two of our staff members were awarded it. This is the picture of them. This is, yeah. This is Jessica, our volunteer director, and Ikaika, our facilities director, and they work the closest with Everett. And because of their work alongside with Everett Middle School, they awarded them the Cesar Chavez Peace Award. That's just beautiful. Community groups. As I told you, we went to a new CG rhythm where the most exciting part is what we got to do with actually new leaders. And to talk about that, I wanted Dave Daly to come and share. So Dave Daly, our pastor of community, is going to come out of this magic door. And ba-dum, there he is.
Hey, guys. Yeah, what an amazing year it's been on the community side of things. As Dave was sharing, there's been this wrestling that we do with the idea of capacity and the idea of care. And a lot of us come from backgrounds that hold the capacity value really, really high and sacrifice the care value for capacity. And we were wrestling with that, honestly. And from the beginning, really intensely in 2014, but from the beginning, we've had two major questions, major issues that we wrestle with on the community group ministry side of the church. And that is, one, how do we handle this constant influx of new people coming into community groups? How do we do that when you're trying to live life together? We want people to grow in health and maturity with one another. We know that happens a lot in community groups. How do you do that when you have one or two or five new people joining your community group every week? You're playing like both introductory host and trying to disciple someone in maturity in the same gathering. It's really, really hard to do. The second challenge was community group leader burnout, that people would commit to this and they would give themselves to it and they would pour into it, and there was no way for them to raise anyone up to take over or them to step out in a healthy way without groups just falling apart. So that was the challenge for us, and we spent months, myself, Tim Ritter, Josh Wadley, Kristen Grunick, months throwing ideas on the board, praying, asking other churches how they do things, and that led us into this model of having open seasons where new people join and closed seasons where groups mature together. And that also gave us this model of, during the closed session, investing in new leaders. So asking community group leaders to identify people that could be leaders. And then there's actually a place for them to go. We host a community group leader class. And so we did our first class in November. We had 56 people come to the first community group leader class, which was amazing, way more than we expected. 40 new community group leaders came out of that. And one of the things I'm really proud of and excited about is of those 40 new community group leaders, 27 were replacement leaders, so that leaders that had been leading for a long time could step out and still stay part of the community group, but not have to lead it, and they could hand it over to someone else. And that's really good for the vitality and health of community groups. So we were really excited about that. As we endeavor to do this and continue both holding capacity and care really as high values in our church, we continually depend on you guys, us as a family, to step into leadership and to care for people. And so just for a second, I want to thank, if you're a community group leader, would you mind just standing up for a second, please? Don't be shy. Would you stand up, please, if you're a community group leader? We are so, so thankful for those of you that take that challenge on. We know it costs your time, your emotional energy, and we believe it is honestly an incredible vehicle in the way that God is maturing and growing this church, because you make yourself available. At a gathering earlier this week, we got together some of our leaders, and we asked them, what do you love about being a community group leader? And here's what they had to say.
My name is Stephen Hepting.
I'm Laura.
Hey, I'm Suzanne.
Hi, my name is Moses Hike.
Hi, I'm Seth Andrzejewski.
My name is Ashley, and this is my husband, Brenton.
Hi, I'm Abby.
And I'm Ryan.
I'm Jessica Morrill, and this is Will Morrill.
Oh, introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm Travis. We lead CG together.
My name is Mark Kwok.
I'm Sarah Coles.
I'm Dave Coles.
Hi, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Jessica.
I'm Laura Richardson.
So I'm Andrew. This is my wife, Sarah.
My name is Carrie.
My name is Andy.
Hi, my name is Brian.
Audrey Krause.
Hi, I'm Angelo.
My name is Travis Bell, and this is Jessica Scoobian.
And we lead the Coal Valley Group.
The NOPA ECG.
Berkeley CG Group.
Inner Sunset 4
the
Group.
The NOPA West Group.
The second Inner Sunset Group.
Also lead Oakland CG 2.
The Mission 2.
Tenderloin Community Group.
Inner Sunset CGs.
The Alamo Square 1 Community
and
Group.
And lead NOE Valley 1.
NOE on Valencia Group.
The West Tradition CG.
Group. Soma 3.
And together we lead Oakland 1 CG.
I love the fact that RCG represents Christ's body,
interacting with people from different backgrounds and walks of life.
How we've supported each other in a lot of different life stages.
Kind of create a family in San Francisco that didn't exist before. It's just a safe place to learn and grow together.
Like, some of the people we lead are our best friends, and it's just been for us a really great way to serve them.
We get a bird's eye view into seeing what God is doing.
You really get to meet every single person in the community group, and I think that's really cool.
Be a part of each other's lives and hold each other accountable for progressing and developing.
Oh, man.
The Holy Spirit is just kind of like gathering us.
Having the opportunity to support them the way that they've supported me.
Providing that space where people can let down their walls.
God shepherding his flock through me.
They're just a lot of fun to hang out with and live life together.
Mm-hmm. Well, dumplings and boba.
Yeah.
Yep.
How God has been faithful over time.
And having a small family inside of a big church.
People are clearly having aha moments about the relationship with Christ.
As well as just the community growing closer together with each other and also with God.
We love the people.
Food.
Oakland? What?
CG.
And of course, the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen to that.
There needs to be t-shirts, Oakland and the Holy Spirit. Just, we make them. That's our community group. Like we've talked about, we see them together like that. Our we can say our church on Sunday right now is truly a gathering of our scattered communities, and that's what makes Sunday really, really special. It's like a family reunion every week, and that's what's beautiful about it. What we provided for in 2014, this is a huge story. Last year, here we said we wanted to increase in generosity as a church, so we wanted to say 10% is where we get the word tithe in the Bible, and so tithe is like a law. We want the New Testament command is like generosity. So it's like, let's grow in generosity. Tithe is bare minimum. Let's go beyond that. So as a church, let's provide into global and local mission. Let's provide 15%. And so we said, church, we're going to grow in generosity as a church by giving this away. Let's all grow in generosity individually. And we saw some really great, great things happen this last year. That 15% is broken up, 8% in global and local initiatives, missional initiatives, 2% benevolent care, which is caring for our church if there's any needs that ever come up, and then 5% in church planting efforts. All these have running balances, and they're all allocated to be spent on these specific things. Last year, our total RSF giving was $282,000. So we gave away in local and global initiative $282,000. This is what this looks like. Global and local ministry partners, we gave away $121,000. We have 9 missionaries that we support. 9 local mission and 2 global ministries. And our local ministry looks something like this. We have, and they're all up there right there. Old School Cafe, BJM, YWAM, Jews for Jesus, Campus Crusade, Freedom House, InterVarsity, New Door Ventures, City Impact, Good Paper, Schools for Justice. That's all our local, 19 local ministry efforts that we support, and it's a beautiful thing. Church planting, we were able to give away $114,000. Reality Boston we supported, and they are now financially independent in Boston, and that's a beautiful, beautiful, awesome, amazing thing. Reality Stockton we supported, that's still doing a great, great, great work in Stockton. Canvas San Francisco that we helped pour into, and they're doing, they planted in the Marina District, and they're doing awesome. They're just doing so good, and we're so happy for them. And then Citizens SF, which will be starting this next year in San Francisco. So we love supporting our family reality initiative, church planning initiatives, and then local. And we'll talk more about that in a second, what that looks like. And then the last piece is the benevolence. We gave away $47,000 in local care people in our community, in our church, in our city that needed that. So well done. We were able to do that. They do have, some of them still have running balances, and then you will all be getting a link to a web scroll that has all this information, so you don't have to write all this stuff down. About our hires last year, we said we needed to bring on some new people. 2014, we had 8 new staff hires this last year. And I can say right now, honestly, this our staff is so very healthy. It's like we get to embody as a family, as a staff family. We get to live in a rhythm where really, our staff is our family. We feel like family, and we get to we're trying to live out a microcosm of what we want our church to live out. So the way we live together, the way we try to check in with each other, the way that we try to be present to each other and spend time in the scriptures and learning together and praying together and like what's going on, and not be all about business is kind of how we want. We want our staff to be like a microcosm of what happens in our community. So, and it's right now, it's just been a beautiful, beautiful thing. These are our staff hires. You can look through this at the web scroll. Our finances, why you're all here. This is why you're here. I know it. Let's talk about our finances. Our giving goal for 2014 was $2.3 million this last year. Our actual giving came in at $2.76 million. So well done, church. Yeah. To explain further, I'm going to ask our executive pastor, Pastor Tark, to come out. So he will come out of the magic door right now.
Add a cause for effect. Thanks, Dave. Hey, guys. So what we saw actually last year was an increase in generosity by you guys, the church, which was absolutely incredible. In 2014, we said that our giving goal was $2.3 million. And you guys actually provided, exceeding that goal, by nearly $500,000. So good job. Well done, church. No claps? No? Okay. No, it's really, really humbling. Church, your faithfulness in giving is growing, and we are growing in maturity together, and that is a beautiful thing. And what we're trying to do as a board is invest everything that comes in very wisely into the kingdom. And so I can stand here today and tell you that we are doing that very thing. We are investing the financial resources into kingdom work, into the good work of Jesus Christ through our local and global ministry partners and through our local missionaries and here in San Francisco and beyond. So it's a wonderful thing. Again, great job. And as we increase in giving together, no matter how big or small the gift, there are faith steps. And we do that together, and God honors those steps. So my prayer for you guys this next year is that you would grow in your generosity, again, as God has enabled you to give, and that we would grow together in 2015. So on behalf of the elders, the staff of Reality San Francisco, and the board of directors, thank you for your generous support and your continued support in 2015. We love you guys.
When we give away, or when we post our web scroll, it will have all the detailed, like, month over month. What we did see this last year was that when we decided, hey, we're going to be more generous as a church, we did see a huge, huge squeeze in the middle of the year where, for the first time as a church, we were like a net negative. We were net negative month over month for a few months in the middle of the year that we got us kind of worried. I addressed this in our mid-year update, if you remember, in July, and said we're going to rein in spending. And church, let's this is our giving goal. Let's try to do that. And so what we've seen was a huge, huge, huge fourth quarter. Now, we have never been the kind of church that relies on a fourth quarter. We've been pretty steady and even pretty much all year long. But as the dynamic and the complexity of our church is changing, we're becoming like one of those churches that relies on our fourth quarter, which is what it is. And then we just have to plan around that. So we weren't necessarily projecting that we'd end the year at 2.76. We were scared a little bit in the middle of the year, but it turned out really great. So all this stuff is detailed in your report. But here's the ministry expenses totals on the major ministry fronts. This is not counting the 15% missional giving. So that's what that is. You will be able to see all this on the web scroll, like I said. Now let's talk a little bit about the future before we get into prayer. Talk a little bit about the future. I'm really excited about this next part. This is something that we said 3 years ago in faith, and a lot of you guys keep bringing it up. We have still at this church a challenge, a pastoral care challenge. A lot of people go, our church is very large. It looks like we have 3 elders on staff. We have a lot of other staff that are pastoral, but like we need more pastoral care people in our church. Several years ago, we moved to more of a neighborhood model, and we showed you a graphic that looks something like this, where the neighborhoods are broken up. And we said that it is our hope and our dream to install neighborhood ministers over different areas of San Francisco. And I am really happy to tell you that this year we'll be installing neighborhood ministers over parts of San Francisco. And these will be men and women gifted in pastoral care to know and to care and to shepherd and to counsel the people in these districts. The way that we've been trying to help people think about it is, imagine our church is like, whatever, 1,500 people. We have, let's say in a certain area represented 250 people. This neighborhood minister will be charged to like know them, like shepherd them, care for them, give them pastoral counsel. When there's counseling requests that come in, where there's like needs that come in, this person's like on the front line. And these people that are gifted in pastoral care are not necessarily gifted in all these other areas. What sometimes we think that someone who's a pastor or gifted pastorally has to do everything well. Have to teach, the pastor, lead, shepherd, counsel, all these things. And that's just like it's not fair for one. Like no one's Jesus, okay? You're like, well, can you be Jesus? Like, well, I could be a little Jesus, but not all Jesus, you know? So what we're trying to do is go, let's install people that have the gift of shepherding, that have the gift of pastoring, and have that gift. They don't want to like lead the church or teach or all. And I know people like this. I meet people like this all the time. Not, I don't want to go plant a church. I want to shepherd. That's how God has gifted me. And the elders want to release them into that, gifted in pastoral care. So we're really excited. This year, we're going to install 2 neighborhood ministers. Our plan is to install 5 over the next 18 months. They will do a short residency with Pastor Dave Daly and myself, and then you will know them, and then we will put them over a neighborhood, and this will all be done in the light up front. You will know all of it as it rolls out. So that's this year. So we're going to be, these will be full-time paid staff positions, by the way. They're not people that work at a job and do this. This is full-time. This is their job. So that's really exciting this next year that we're planning on doing, that we've been hoping for a while. The next thing is church planting. We talk about this every year. What is the plan for church planting? It seems like we're overflowing and all this other stuff. What is our plan? Here's a couple of things that I've been and the elders have been ruminating on for, gosh, 3 years, 2 years now. But then I think we're getting more clear vision. I don't know that if the best thing is to franchise Reality San Francisco. Like just to go, let's franchise this thing and start a whole bunch of us. A whole bunch of churches all over San Francisco. And we're not really convinced that the best thing for San Francisco is 4 to 6 realities all over the place. We don't know if that's the best thing for the city. We actually think that the best thing for San Francisco is a diversity of different churches to reach the diversity of our city. And so God has given us a vision, a clear vision of what to be and what to do. And there's all these unreached people or people that want to go and get and be a part of a church community. And there are all these people that are called to plant churches in San Francisco. So this is where we want to move into. We want to actually move into, and this is hijacking language that you know well, so please don't laugh at me, but we want to move into more of an accelerator model where we bring in people with a unique vision to plant in San Francisco, and we want to pour into them, and we want to like show them pitfalls, things that we've learned, things that we've done right, things that we've done wrong, and pray for them and then financially fund them. Hopefully they have their own financial backing when they come in, but we want to help financially fund them and then release them into the city. And what we really want to do is be really open-handed and go, this is what we want to agree on. We want to agree on the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, and that's it. And then you do what God has called you to do in San Francisco for the sake of the gospel. And we're not going to put strings to it. We're not going to make you become like us. We don't actually want you to be like us. We want you to have your own distinct, unique vision, and we want to fan that vision into a flame. We want to pray for you, and then we want to financially support you, and we want to release you. And we're not asking for any sort of stake in your church, any sort of like you give us back. This is kingdom investment into the city. And that's what we want to do. And that's we've tried this. We kind of tested this out with a church called Canvas Church that started in the marina, to where we're like, hey, we want to help you. Can you come in? What do you need? Do you need our building? Do you need, let us give you some advice. Let's sit with you. Tarek sat with him for the finances. I sat with him for like vision stuff. And then they're a different church than us, and we're like, how can we financially support you for your first year? And we did support them, and they are doing amazing, amazing. We're doing this with Citizens Church next year, which is a different model church. They're starting as like small groups, like community groups that will eventually birth new community groups, which eventually get large enough to have a gathering. But they're all community centric in one part of the city. And we love that, and we're financially supporting them right now, and we will continue to this year and pour into them. What we want to do is formalize this a little bit more this next year and go, and like cast the net wide, going, if you're called to plant a church in San Francisco, how can we help you? Do you believe in the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, and do you have your own vision? How can we help you? And I want to, as a church, to celebrate them and go, we want to see just all kinds of churches planted and us being open-handed with zero strings attached. That's the model that we want to move into this next year. Church planting. And this, obviously, we have 5% set aside for this. As this vision grows, we'll probably need more. And so we'll be looking for people to invest in this. But we just want to see a bunch of churches planted in San Francisco. Next, Serve the City is back this year. After a hiatus last year. So we're going to do Serve the City. It's a little reboot. What we're going to do, actually, is we're going to spend a week fasting and praying for our city every night together, corporately, and then we're going to go lead into a Saturday where we serve the city, but we're going to try to gather prayer requests from City Hall and our city, pray through them, fast and pray for our city, like the Isaiah 1 sort of stuff, righteousness and justice. And then we're going to do an Isaiah, like when Isaiah talks about a true fast, it's like doing, not just abstaining from food and drink, but now doing the righteousness of God. And then on Saturday, we're going to, as a church, go all over our city through our communities and community groups and serve the city on a single day. So the city's back. It looks a little bit different this year, and we're really, really excited about it. So that's back as well. Yeah. Next. Here's something that we I've noticed, and you've probably noticed it too. A couple in our church gets married, and then they start to have a family, and everyone in their community group looks at them and says, "You are the wise sage." And the people go, "I'm 32. Like, I don't have that much figured out. Like, I don't." And this is what's happening over and over and over again in our church. Like, they're like, "Where are the mentors? Like, you mentor me." They're like, "I'm 32. I need a mentor. Like, what are you talking about?" And our marriages are just, gosh, we have to do a continual premarital course all the time because there's so many marriages happening. Like, we can't stop. Every time we stop, there's more people that sign up for it. And so we just run it all year long now. And babies, we already talked about that, just everywhere. It's hard to raise a family in San Francisco. We all know that. It's really hard. It's in the paper pretty much every single day, how hard it is. There's blogs about it, yada, yada, yada. This is what we figure. It's hardest to live in San Francisco probably between the ages of like 33 and 43, like 34 and 44. If we could make it there, after 44, it gets a little bit easier. After 45, living in the city, when you've lived in the city that long and raised a family in that city, it gets a little bit easier. I mean, it's pretty easy to live in the city when you're in your 20s and early 30s and you get married, and it gets more difficult. If we could figure out a way to live there, we'll have so much to like pour into the city itself at that age, and then so much to pour into the church. So if you're 32 and you're like, "I'm not the mentor," I can say, "Would you hang on for 10 years? hang on. You suck it up for 10 years, and we won't have this problem ever again. But we want to help. And so what we're going to be doing this next year is actually a job requisition we're going to be going out next month. We're going to be looking for a very, very, very wise and great marriage and family pastor to pastor and counsel and care for. Yeah. Our marriages and our families, to pour into young marrieds, to pour into older marriages, to counsel, to really, I want, and we also want this person to go, we've raised kids ourselves, and this is what we've learned, and also to go, we want to help you figure out a way to live in the city in that time. Like, let's just figure it out. Let's figure out how to do this. And a person that's really devoted, or even a family that's really devoted to that in our church. And so we'll be looking to install that next year. So that's one of our key, our hires this next year, onboarding two neighborhood ministers, a marriage and family pastor, and then this little graph here rounds out what it looks like for our 2015 hires. So our approved giving goal for this next year is $2.9 million. So it hasn't gone up a ton, but it's gone up enough, especially to support new staff and new costs associated with those staff and those departments as they come on, and some replacement hires that we have. So the last thing I want to share before we move into a time of prayer is we usually try to give like a word, something we can like sink our teeth into for the next year. And as we've been praying, this is the word that keeps coming up over and over and over again, from like health to maturity. We want to see the word that we've been getting from God is like life. We want the life of God to be breathed in our church. Like the breath of God to be breathed in us. And when I say this, I'm talking about like vitality. Like we see, we're alive with the life of God. And almost to where on our lips is like Jesus is alive and he's here. And he's in the city, he's in my job. The life of God is breathed in us in such a way that there's a revival, like a reviving of our hearts. There's an awakening. There's even new life. We want to pray for a new life this year as a church, that God would save people this year. We don't have room. Well, we're going to try to make room. And that God would save people in our church, like new life would happen. And to kind of bring us into that, in 2 weeks, we'll be starting a teaching through the book of John. And it's going to be called Jesus' Reality. It's going to take us all the way up to Easter. And in the book of John, at the very end of the book of John, John writes and he says, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The very beginning of the book, it talks about Jesus and it says that Jesus is the light of all mankind. And in him was light, and the light was the life of all mankind. And throughout the book, he continues to put it back to how he is life, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Or he tells the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures because in them you think you have life, but you refuse to come to me. I have eternal life." Jesus is the life. And so what we want to see this next year is the life of God breathed into us. The life of God breathed into us. And so here's how I want to pray tonight. We're going to stand, we're going to sing, and we're going to pray, and this is the part that we're all really here for. We're going to ask God, "God, do these things." And so when we do, let me just set some ground rules. When we pray out loud, it's completely okay to pray to where people can hear you. So pray loud. It's okay. That's why we're in a public prayer meeting, so that we can all hear you. It's okay to say yes and amen when someone prays. It's okay to say that out loud. Like they pray, and you're like, "Yes. Amen." That's okay to say. That doesn't mean the prayer is over. That means like I'm saying yes to that prayer. And when you say yes and amen, you're agreeing in prayer, and you're almost like saying that prayer is your prayer, so you kind of get like credit for it too. Like, yes, that's my prayer. That's a good thing. It's okay to even like, it's okay to get a little bit Pentecostal and groan a bit. We're cool with that. Like, just, that's cool. It's okay to make mistakes in prayer. Prayer is a language. You have to learn it. And so if you've never prayed out loud, especially in front of 800 or so people, if your prayer is, "God, please do that," that's a good prayer. Or, "God, help us," that's a good prayer. The other ground rule is that please don't make these super long prayers. I know some people, intercessors, you love to pray forever. And I love that. But this is like not the best context for that, because all of us are ADD and we don't like can't pay attention to your prayer for that long. So shorter prayers, like brevity. One old pastor said that brevity is the fuel for prayer meetings. It's like short, like punchier prayers. And the last thing is, I think that's it. Short, stand up, we're going to pray. Okay, we'll do that in a second. So we're going to go into prayer. And so how I want to pray tonight is this. If everything you've heard, like something just resonated with you, or something did something in your life, and that's the thing you remember, pray for that. Pray for the life of God to be breathed in our church. Pray for new life. Pray for salvation. Pray for health and continued health in our church. Pray for our community group leaders. Pray for our leadership. Pray for church plant. Pray for God, that God would send church planters into San Francisco. More of them. Even like, and I didn't mention this, I'd love to see a diversity of churches being planted. Like, I'd love to see a Spanish-speaking church being planted, an Ethiopian church being planted, Chinese church. Like, we want to see ethnic churches planted as well. Let's just pray for that, a diversity of people that God wants to send in to plant churches. Let's pray for that. There's so many things to pray for. All the stuff that we've talked about, let's pray that God provides the right neighborhood ministers, that God provides brings us the right person to apply for the pastor of marriage and family. A lot to pray for. To lead us into a time, I'm going to invite out our worship team, but I want to invite out Julie Barrios, our spiritual formation director. And I want Julie to lead us into a prayer, kind of posturing our hearts in prayer. And then that will lead us right into a time where Tyler leads us into a song. And then after he does the first song, let's just pray. Oh, the last thing I want to say, if two people are praying at the same time, it's okay. Like, God can sort that out. Like, God can hear you both at the same time. So it's totally okay. If, like, someone prays and someone else prays over here, it's totally fine. So let's just, I mean, even if everyone prays at the same time, it's okay. God can figure that out. So, Julie, would you lead us? Would you want them to stand now, or?
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't stand.
All right. I'm going to lead you in a time of prayer where we're going to connect some of the dots from our little piece of God's big story into our even smaller piece of our own hearts and what our year has been like into God's big story. So close your eyes and open your hearts. Lord, it is such a beautiful privilege to observe this little piece of your beautiful work in our city. And Lord, we can see the numbers and we can have even been able to observe what you've been doing. And yet also we each have individual stories where you have given us evidence of your goodness. And so right now, I want you to reflect, acknowledging the Holy Spirit in you that has been with you, asking the Spirit to help bring to mind the people that have blessed your year as a part of this community. Lord, would you also help us recall right now the words of kindness and encouragement that we've been shown? Lord, would you bring to our minds ways that we have grown as individuals? Lord, how have you grown the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts? Can we see evidence of patience or self-control or kindness? Lord, would you remind us in what ways you have been pruning us as individuals? Perhaps that pruning has even been uncomfortable. Lord, we are so grateful for the ways that you have knit us together as living members of your body. There's so much to celebrate tonight. And would you also be at work in our hearts, bringing to mind hopes and desires for the future, for ourselves and for this church? Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? In Jesus' name.